Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The old timer wrote the song, said it's real. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody believe it's real today? Is it still real? Amen. It hasn't lost its reality. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe the Holy Ghost ever wears out. Amen. It wears in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It just gets better. Songwriter said it gets better as the days go by. It gets sweeter. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this Holy Ghost experience that we share with Him today. Amen. What a great, great God that could come up with something as wonderful as the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's something really, really special, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to be studying today about the mentorship of Barnabas. Amen. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, Barnabas. We don't have a lot about him, but what's there is just absolutely, absolutely beautiful. The role of the mentor is that of a trusted friend whose counsel and guidance is immediately appreciated and beneficial, but whose value is realized much later. Amen. So it takes time to be a mentor. And then in the book of Acts, chapter 11, this is the focus verse, 25 to 26. Said, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Amen. And then our scripture text comes from Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, and that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And then in the 15th chapter, verse 36 to verse number 41, it said, in some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Amen. There's a lot of good stuff here in these verses for us today. Some good things to learn. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. There's a word that is common in these days, bandied about much in business realms and in education, as well as in the church, and that's this word mentoring. A mentor is somebody that is a trusted and wise advisor or a teacher or a coach. I read a really good article some time ago about the difference in a coach and a cheerleader. People like cheerleaders more than just because they're handsome or pretty. They like them because they stroke their ego. They make them feel good about themselves. You know, the cheerleader just stands there. Go get them. Rah, rah, rah. You're doing good. Wonderful. Oh, great, great. And they just build up their ego and make them feel good. But that's not what a coach does. A coach doesn't necessarily make you feel good. He says, you know that last play we played? And I told you to go right. And I told you when you got 15 yards out there, you were supposed to cut to the right. And you went straight. And you missed the ball. Now next time I want you to listen to me. And you get all upset. You think, well, coach, you're going to hurt my feelings if you don't watch out. Well, the coach, he's not really interested in your feelings. He's interested in you being a part of the team and winning the game. Amen. And so a coach doesn't coddle and always make you feel good about yourself. But a coach is somebody that knows your potential and makes you push yourself to do better than you thought you could do and to become all that you have the potential to be. That's what a coach is for, right? Amen. They're supposed to make you be better. Amen. But we live in a time when people like cheerleaders a lot more than they do coaches. Amen. Because a lot of folks don't want to be told what to do anymore. Amen. They like to be told that they're all right just like they are. And especially in church. People really like to go to churches where they just come in and they get somebody to tell them how wonderful they are and they leave with a warm and fuzzy feeling. Amen. That I'm all right just like I am. Amen. But a real coach and a real mentor won't do that. They'll tell you that you're good and you're blessed and you're called of God and all the good things, but they'll also tell you, but you know what? There's some things we need to lay aside. There's some things we can do better. There's some attitudes that we can improve. And that's what a mentor does. They strive to make us better than what we were. And that's what Barnabas was. Barnabas was a great mentor. His name Barnabas, an interesting word. Actually, his name started out as Joseph. Or Joseph, it's a type of the word Joseph. Joseph being a Hebrew name and Joseph being a Greek name. And so he started out being called Joseph. But it was really because of his character and his attributes and his actions that people just began to call him Barnabas. Amen. This word Barnabas is a very, very interesting word. It actually comes from the Greek word paraclete. Paraclete is the word Jesus used in John chapter 14 when he talked about sending the Holy Ghost as the comforter. Remember the comforter? He said, and another comforter will I send to you. And so this word Barnabas comes from the same root word as the word paraclete. And so they were saying when they began to call him Barnabas, that means the son of consolation or the son of encouragement or the son of comfort. And they were saying that Barnabas was the kind of person that was always comforting people. He was always encouraging people. He was always building people up. And so he became known then as Barnabas. Amen. And that's a beautiful name. If I ever have a grandson, I don't know if I'm going to call him Barnabas, but I like that name. I like what it means. Amen. Because somebody called him Barney, and people think of purple dinosaurs and stuff, you know. We like the name Daphne when Cherie was born, but we didn't want people calling her Daphne's. Now, you have to kind of think ahead, right? Amen. But Barnabas, what a beautiful name. Barnabas. And what a great, great man. Barnabas was a great character in Scripture. And he had an exemplary life. It was the kind of person that that you want to be like. Did you ever see somebody and you just thought, I wish I could be like that? That's how Barnabas was. You looked at him and you thought, I'd like to be like Barnabas. I'd like for my children to be like Barnabas. He was just that kind of a person. We don't have a whole lot about him here, but we read these verses a little earlier. It gives us a little bit about him in Acts chapter 11, verse 24. It says, first of all, it said he's a good man. He was a good man. And it's good to be good. It's good to be good. Barnabas was a Levite. The Levites, if you remember your church history or your Old Testament history, the Levites, or the family of Levi, the tribe of Levi, were chosen to be the priest of Israel. So he was from a priestly family. He grew up and born on an island called Cyprus, and but from a family of Levites. And so by his heritage, he was a godly man. He had some status, and because he was a Levite. But he didn't build on that. He didn't let that go to his head. You know, some people, they get a little entitlement and it goes to their head and makes them think they're somebody special. We don't seem to find that in the life of Barnabas. He, even though he had some heritage in his life and he had some good things and a reputation to uphold and all of that, we find him, instead of being entitled and instead of being arrogant or proud or superior, we find him being supportive and serving and humble. And what a beautiful spirit this man called Barnabas. Amen. Now, there's a beautiful verse I like and think of often in the Bible that says, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, if you're a horticulturist or a botanist, you could probably look at a tree and just look at the bark and the leaves and the shape of the tree and know what it was. I can't do that because I don't know that much about trees. I live in West Texas, so I know what a mesquite bush is. That's about my extent of knowing what trees were. That's what they had out there. And then you come here and you have all these beautiful pine trees and oak trees and magnolia trees and all kinds of beautiful, beautiful trees. But I do know this much, that if I see an apple on a tree, that's an apple tree. Unless somebody tied it there trying to fool me, that's an apple tree. But if that fruit's attached and literally growing out of the tree, then I can tell you what kind of tree it is, because I know what the fruit is. Now, but somebody that's real smart and knows about trees would know without even having fruit on it what kind of tree it was. But what the fruit really reveals about a tree is what kind of tree it is, not as to its identity, but as to whether it's a good tree or a bad tree. Because if it's a bad tree, it's not going to grow good fruit. Have you ever tried to eat fruit off of a tree that didn't produce good fruit? But a good tree will produce good fruit. And Barnabas was that kind of a man. He was a good man, and you knew he was a good man because he produced good fruit. He produced goodness out of his life. And when you saw him, you knew that he did good things. And so he actually produced good things. And by his fruit, you knew that Barnabas was a good man. The second thing the Scripture notes about Barnabas is that he was full of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost is not the destination, it's the starting place. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, it's not over, it's just beginning. That's your ticket. Amen. You're just now getting on. You've You've got the journey to make yet. And so it's not just about receiving the Holy Ghost, but it's staying full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, how do you know if you're full of the Holy Ghost? Well, one thing is, if somebody reaches over and sticks you and bitterness comes out, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. If anger and violence pours out, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. If carnality pours out, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. So that's why we get stuck sometimes. The Lord says, let's see how full you are. Let's check it out here. And He sends somebody to poke you. And boy, you just get all upset and angry, and it lets you know, well, I'm not full of the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost, but I'm not full of it right now. I need to empty some of this stuff out so I can get more Holy Ghost. That's what repentance is, isn't it? It's getting rid of the bad stuff so God can fill us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you will be full of the Holy Ghost if you get rid of the bad stuff. Amen. You will come in because we literally live in a sea of Holy Ghost. We do. And the thing about the Holy Ghost, it will come in if you get the stopper out. Whatever's stopping the Holy Ghost from coming in, you get rid of that, Holy Ghost is going to come in. We got to get rid of the stuff sometimes. Barnabas was a repentant man that was full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody knew that about Barnabas, that he was just full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the greatest things that anybody could ever say about us is that we're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a Holy Ghost man. And that's what Barnabas was. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says that he was also full of faith. Now, I don't know how many miracles Barnabas did. We don't read a whole lot about that. But did you know you can have a lot of faith and never see what people would call a miracle in your life? You could have a sickness, a chronic illness that would plague you for your whole life and still be full of faith. Faith is more than just being able to cast out devils and heal sicknesses. And drive fancy cars and live in big houses. It's more than that. Faith was exemplified in Barnabas' life in the fact that he just always trusted God. Even when things were difficult and he had troubles and he had problems and he had disagreements and he got his feelings hurt, he just trusted God. That's what faith is. Faith is when you just keep on trusting God and serving God when people don't understand and when you don't even understand. But you just keep trusting God. Amen. That's being full of faith. It's somebody that's faithful and steadfast. Just keeps on walking. Brother Tenney said years ago, he said, what the church needs is just more consecrated plodders. People that just keep putting one foot in front of the other foot. Amen. And you just keep going. Everybody's seen these, flash-in-the-pan Christians. Boy, they're brilliant for a little while. And they're gone. They appear on the scene like a comet in the sky. And boy, they light things up. And we go, woo, man, he's really got it. But he don't keep it long. And then he burns out. Amen. But thank God for people that are just there, like you. Amen. You're just here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you're just always here. You can say, well, you know, would you help us do this? And it's done. You're going to do it. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Amen. You're not going to be caught away in something else. It's just thank God for people that are just steadfast. People that are just full of faith. Not flashy, but full of faith. Amen. And just so Barnabas was a man that was just full of faith. And he just kept on serving God. No matter what came his way, he just served the Lord. And then he was a man that was just full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't know where that verse came from, but anyway, wasn't in my lesson. I wish it had been, but the gift to guide. That's a wonderful gift to have, isn't it? Being able to guide people. Amen. Barnabas had the gift to guide. And first of all, he had the trust of people. The only way you can have the trust of people is to be trustworthy, or worthy of trust. Worthy of trust. Trust is something that must be earned, isn't that right? You know, people earn, you earn people's trust. Now, some people that have lived a life around trustworthy people, seems like they trust people more easily. But people that have lived around folks that were kind of shifty and unstable, it's hard for them to trust people because they haven't had a lot of trust in their life. But people that, and some people just, they just seem to have more trust in people. For one thing, I think a lot of it is how much you trust God. Amen. If you really have a great trust in God, great faith in God, then you understand that if people don't come through, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. I learned a long time ago that if people don't come through with what they said, it's, you know, it's not going to hang up my plow. I'm just going to keep on going. Amen. Anybody ever been disappointed with people? Anybody ever make you a promise and they didn't keep it? Amen. Just don't let that bother you. Let it hang you up. Don't talk about it for days. Amen. Don't discuss it every time you see them. Don't bring it up. Just forget about it. Amen. But you just, if you trust God, then it's easier then to trust people. But Barnabas was a man that had the trust of the people because he proved himself to be trustworthy. If Barnabas said he was going to be somewhere, he'd be there. Or he'd let you know why. Barnabas was the kind of guy, if he told you he was going to do something, he would do it. He was trustworthy. So people trusted him. I think it's noteworthy here that he was kind of like a troubleshooter. If something needed to be done, the brethren in Jerusalem knew that, well, we'll just send Barnabas. He can handle it. Amen. And so he was the kind of guy that had the people's trust. Barnabas had experience and patience to guide others. Everybody say patience. Ooh, that's not easy, but if you're gonna help other people, you gotta have patience. One of the great things that all parents need is patience. When your child does something for the first time, they're not going to do it perfectly. And it would be a whole lot easier to do it yourself. And one of the mistakes that parents make is to not have patience and allow children to develop their gifts, their abilities, because they're in such a hurry to do it themselves. One of the things I appreciate to this day about my dad was the fact that he was a patient man when it came to training his sons. He would show us how to do something, and then he would take the time to allow us to do it. And if we didn't do it right, he would show us how to do it again until we got it right. Now the problem is, it was always exciting when Dad trusted you to do something. But then when you learned how to do it, it was your job. And then he expected you to do it. I remember how exciting it was to learn how to do stuff. But then it wasn't so exciting whenever he told me I had to keep doing it. Amen. And that was not nearly so much fun. And but I appreciate my father for being a patient man. And every day I use skills, and I think so often of my dad and the things that he passed on, abilities, talents, confidence that he passed on to us. There's not a lot of things that I'm afraid to tackle. I may not know how to do it, but I have the confidence that we can probably figure it out. And if I can, I can find somebody that can. And just that comes from my mentor, my dad, that helped me in so very many ways. And I appreciate him so very much. So Barnabas did have experience, but you know how you get experience is you just make a lot of mistakes till you learn how to do stuff. Amen. So that's kind of what experience is, huh? You just get out there and do it. Amen. And experience then is very valuable. There was a teacher that had 25 years of teaching, and he never got a promotion. So he went to the principal and he said, I've got 25 years of experience. How come I don't get a promotion? The principal said, I'm sorry, but you haven't had 25 years of experience. He said, you've only had 1 year's experience and you repeated it 25 times. In other words, he never moved on. He never learned anything else. I don't know if you've ever worked with people. A little aggravating to me, but I worked with people a few times, and that something new would come up, and they'd say, that's not my job! Well, those are the people that repeat the same thing for 25 years. And they're not very valuable because they're afraid to tackle something new and learn something and do something that's outside their comfort zone. But if you learn how to do everything that you can possibly learn how to do, you're a whole lot more valuable employee. And matter of fact, I've known people that got so good at doing their job that they were afraid to fire them or let them go because nobody else knew how to do everything. Amen. That's a good thing, isn't it? Be valuable. As an employee, it's very good to make yourself just as valuable as you can possibly be. And that's one of the ways you do that, is by getting experience doing different kinds of things. And then Barnabas was sent as a counselor to soothe troubled situations. That's a great gift, isn't it? Somebody that can go into a situation that's volatile and it's like a cauldron of boiling trouble and go into that situation, and rather than cause more trouble and stir up more things, be able to resolve the situation, bring peace. Barnabas was a man like that. the early church had situations like we do today that were new to them, and they didn't know what to do about it. You know, growth causes problems. Some people don't really want to grow because they don't want the problems it brings. There was a grocery clerk in Venezuela. The missionary, she found something at the store that she really liked. And they were always out of it. Every time she'd go back, they didn't have any more. So she finally got the grocery clerk and she said, when are you going to get some more of this stuff? And he said, never. He said, we couldn't keep that stuff on the shelf. We're not getting any more of it. It was just too much trouble. Sold all they could get, but it's too much trouble. Too much work. Amen. Growth is work, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. Some people are just satisfied being where they are. They don't want to grow because it takes effort. Amen. And so Barnabas was he was sent to situations that were caused by growth. And the early church went through some very, very interesting things because of growth. And so they sent Barnabas to take care of situations, and he was good at it. He was that kind of person. Barnabas was a man that was willing to share. We've already covered that. He was willing to share. He was not a selfish person. But he wasn't a person that had to have a lot of praise. He didn't have to have a lot of attaboys. What do they call them? Kudos. He just served because he loved to serve and it was the right thing to do. And he loved to share. He gave freely of his time and his talents. And actually, Barnabas was the kind of person that probably did more through others than he did himself. As a matter of fact, it's Barnabas's students that far excelled him. But they would not have done so without the input of Barnabas. It's unlikely, and I say this with great respect, unlikely that Paul the Apostle would have become the man he became without Barnabas. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. Very unlikely that John Mark would have been the pastor that he became had it not been for Barnabas and his influence in his life. So Barnabas was willing to share. He gave freely of his gifts to others, and he did so very much to help others and to reach out to others. And as a matter of fact, others just really seemed to be his heartbeat. He didn't seem to think a whole lot about himself and his own needs and what he needed to do. The first church came to a great crossroads. As long as Jews were being converted, they were comfortable with that. Because Jewish believers knew all of their traditions and they knew how to be Jewish Christians. But when the church jumped off into the Grecian world and all of a sudden people began to come into the church that didn't know where Genesis was or what Genesis was, and they didn't know anything about the law of Moses or even who Moses was, people began to come into the church that had no background that the Jews had about their heritage, knew very little about God. All they knew is that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God gave me this beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost, and my life has been transformed. But they had absolutely no foundation. The Jews had a foundation because they had the Word of God. But what about people that come to God that have no foundation whatsoever? You see the conflict that rose in the early church? Here's all of these traditional Christians that knew all of the law and knew all of that and knew where to find the books of the Scripture and knew how to quote prophets and Psalms and Proverbs and they knew all of those. Now you've got these people and all they know all of these strange gods and strange philosophies and strange philosophers and weird ideas and they're coming into the church. How do you put all this together? Well, let me just tell you, we're getting ready to find out. Amen. Praise God. Brother Crawford Coon had it right. He said, you just don't find good, clean sinners anymore. Amen. People come and you know, they've got problems. They come out of drug addictions and all kinds of addictions and problems and fractured families and all kinds of situations. And they're coming out of that kind of a world. God drops them right in the lap of the church. What are we going to do with them? Well, we need the spirit of Barnabas. That's what happened in Antioch. I don't know who it was, but somebody got the idea in Antioch to go start preaching the Gentiles. I mean, they really upset the apple cart. Peter had already got in trouble for that, you know.
He went down and preached to Cornelius, and when he got back to Jerusalem, they called him in and said, "Hey, Pete, come over here now. What's this we hear about you going to a Gentile's house preaching the gospel?" He said, "Well, you're right." He said, "But being a smart Jew, he took 11 witnesses with him." And he said, "I'm not alone on this. Come here, boys. Y'all were there." And he told them the story. He said, "All I can tell you is the Lord told me to go. And when I was preaching, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell on these people. And we know they got the Holy Ghost because we heard them speak in tongues just like we did when we got the Holy Ghost." Amen. And even though that happened at Cornelius' house, so they weren't sure they wanted that as a daily event. So when in Antioch, this wild church just went outside and just purposely started preaching just to Gentiles. And Gentiles started coming in and getting the Holy Ghost. And they said, "What are we going to do with this renegade bunch? It's going to wreck the whole church." And somebody said, "Well, let's send Barnabas." Thank God they sent Barnabas. I'm so glad they sent Barnabas. Because Barnabas didn't go down there and say, "The first thing you've got to do is you got to be circumcised like all the Jews are, and you got to start keeping the law, and you got to start keeping the Sabbath, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this, and you got to do the other," and give them a whole bunch of rules and regulations that were not biblical. He didn't do that. The first thing he did was he got all excited. He got down there and he started worshiping with them. Hallelujah. And then he started, everybody say, teaching. Teaching them. Teaching them. Amen. It's obvious. Not everybody likes teaching. You can see the difference in Sunday morning service and Sunday school. Boy, that was sneaky, wasn't it? Oh, come on, Brother Grissom. Watch out now, son. You can tell the difference in Sunday night and Wednesday. Amen. Praise God, but teaching's good. If you learned your tootums, it's because somebody taught you. You just kept it 2 times 1 is 1. 2 times 2 is 4. Somebody taught you that. Everybody say taught. It wasn't fun. Amen, but somebody taught you that. Teaching is a valuable gift. So he taught them. He just come in and he started teaching. And he established the church. Thank God for Barnabas. I'm glad that they sent Barnabas down there because, and you know what else he did? He got to looking at this and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I know just the fellow that can help me here." Now, let me just show you something here, just how important mentoring is in people like Barnabas. Barnabas said, "There's this guy named Saul. He got converted." Now, I want you to understand about 12 years have passed from the conversion of Saul until now. And he ain't setting the woods on fire. He went into Arabia and studied, and God revealed things to him for about 3 years. He came back to Damascus and started preaching. And they got so upset with him that they had to let him over the wall in a basket. He was a basket case. And they let him over the wall in a basket so he could escape. And he went to Jerusalem, and they didn't know what to do with him. When he got to Jerusalem again, it was Barnabas. Barnabas went in and said, "Hey, brethren, this is a good man right here." Put his reputation on the line. Stood with Saul of Tarsus. And all they knew to do with him was send him home. They said, "Why don't you go start a church in Tarsus, Saul?" Well, we don't hear much about a church in Tarsus. So whatever he did when he got to Tarsus, he was not setting the woods on fire. He was just kind of in a holding pattern. But thank God for Barnabas. Barnabas shows up one day in Tarsus on Saul's doorstep, and he said, "Hey, Saul," he said, "man, I got just the gig for you. Come with me." Amen. "We are getting ready. There's a church in Antioch, and man, you're going to fit the bill there. You are just, they're just what you need. You're just what they need. It's going to fit like a glove. Come with me." And so Saul of Tarsus went to Antioch with Barnabas. And the Bible says they began to teach, and my, they had revival, and things were exciting, and what a team they made. So thank God for people like Barnabas that can just settle in and do work. The Bible says much people was added unto the Lord, under their ministry and their teaching. Amen. And it wasn't very long before the Holy Ghost said, separate me, now get this, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, unto the ministry when I have called them. Now, as far as we know, Barnabas and Saul were the first missionaries of the Christian church. And they started a journey. They went to, first of all, they started off in Cyprus, which was Barnabas' hometown. And then they went from there to Paphos and Pamphylia. Started their first missionary journey. And but thank God for Barnabas. Thank God for Barnabas. He was a man that got all that started. You see, we owe the ministry, the missionary ministry of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. But it started with Barnabas. He's the one that kind of got him. I've seen people like that. I've watched people sometimes. You know, they're like sleepers. They don't seem to be going anywhere. And all of a sudden, man, they catch fire. And they get going. And they do great things, but somebody sparked the fire. Somebody sparked the fire. Amen. I've watched it. I've seen it. Observed it. It's fascinating. But thank God for people like Barnabas that can do that. Now, if you were to just go out in general and talk to people, a lot of people you talk to, if you talk about Paul the Apostle, they'd know who you were talking about. But if you said Barnabas, they'd say, who's that? Now you know. Are you better? Because we've been talking about him now for a long time. I'm kind of missed that clock back there. I have no idea what time it is. But that's all right, isn't it? We'll just get through when we get through. How's that? Since we don't have a clock to go by anymore. Amen. Barnabas the mentor. Amen. The mentor propels a student forward faster. Jesus was the mentor, wasn't he? Isn't that amazing? The world had one Christian. His name was Jesus. Amen. And he selected 12 men and he mentored them. What I mean by that is they walked with him and they ate when he ate, and they slept when he slept, and they listened to his teachings, and he literally poured himself into them. Not only what he said, but his actions, his deeds, and they watched him every day. As a matter of fact, one place the Bible says, and I love this the way it says it here. They watched Jesus praying one time, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They were so carried away. He didn't have to teach them. Now, boys, we're going to learn to pray today. He didn't do that. He just prayed, and they saw the effectiveness and the power and the beauty of it. And they said, teach us to pray. They wanted to do it. And so Jesus was a great mentor, and he mentored his disciples, and he taught them. And then at the end of his life and after his death, he placed the entire future of the church in the hands of these 11 apostles. And then, of course, they added another. But he put the whole future of the church in their hands. But you know what? They did a marvelous job. With only 3 years of training, they did an awesome job. They did an awesome job. Amen. Praise the Lord. Training's a great thing, but after a while, you just need to break out and just do something. Amen. Some people just want to train their whole life. Get beyond that. All righty. Barnabas was a biblical model of a mentor, a wise and trusted counselor, a teacher, an advisor, a preserver, a developer of potential. Amen. I used to I used to think it was a great compliment when somebody said, "Boy, you got a lot of potential." But I've decided that's not always a great compliment. You know what potential is? It's unused energy and ability. Unused. The gasoline in your car tank, that's potential energy. But it doesn't do any good until you start it and start using it. And that's when it does good. If you let it sit there long enough, it'll go bad. It'll waste. It's potential. And you and I are like that. God puts gifts in us. But if we don't use those gifts, they're potential. Now listen, we will one day be judged for what we did with those gifts. I said we will be judged for what we did with those gifts. And you be careful, because you remember the only one that got in trouble was a little fellow that just had one gift. And what did he do with it? He hid it. Poor me, I just have one gift. I can't do nothing. Watch out now. You ever had that? I know you've never thought like that. Surely not. But there are people that have. Poor me. I can't do anything. I wish I was like so-and-so. They can do everything. I wish I could do something. Watch out. God gave you gifts. And you will be judged for what He gave you. So potential is dangerous if you're not using it. So we must use our potential to become what God would have us to be. Amen. And God wants us to do greater and greater things. Amen. And so Saul and Barnabas then, they start out on a great ministry. Oh, Sheree, why am I not being able to move this thing? Here we go. All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So Barnabas went with Saul and started the apostolic ministry. And then he provided great counsel for the churches. Amen. He was the kind of person that you could talk to. You know, it's good to be somebody that people can talk to. I have the idea that Saul of Tarsus was not warm and fuzzy. Now, he is a good preacher. He had a lot of faith. He did some scary stuff. You know, he turned around and calls one guy. He said, to be blind. He said, "You're not going to see, buddy." Boom! The guy was blind. He knew about that because that's what happened to him. But God blinded him with light, not darkness. And so he understood. Paul was a great man, but he was not a warm and fuzzy fellow. He wasn't the kind of guy that kids came up to and tugged on his coat wanting to hug. Amen. That wasn't Saul of Tarsus. Now, we need people like that. But thank God for people like Barnabas, too. Amen. Somebody pointed out something some years ago I thought was very interesting. I believe it was Brother Booker. It said that when Moses died, the people grieved. But when Aaron died, all the people grieved. What's the difference? Aaron apparently was easier. You know how it is with father figures. I don't know how it was in your house, but anything we went to Mama first. She was a pushover compared to Dad. You know what Mom always said, though, huh? "What'd your Dad say?" "I didn't ask him." "Go ask him." But boy, he was the last resort. He was scary. Amen. And it's that way. I notice in pastoring after many years, you know what most people do? They talk to my wife. A whole lot of people, they say, "Well, you know, I just talk to Sister Grisham." Amen. And I've never bitten anybody that I'm aware of. But there's just something about it. Saul was such an authority figure. Barnabas was, well, he was just the kind of person you could just be around. Amen. And So he spares and preserves. Let me touch on this here just a moment. I get too far ahead. We read about the conflict that happened in the missionary ministry. They went from Cyprus and they went over to Paphos and getting ready to launch and go to another place. And Barnabas had brought along his, we think, cousin by the name of John Mark. And John Mark was a very young man, and for whatever reason, you can speculate all day long, I don't know why he went home, but for some reason, when they got ready to launch from on into the journey, John Mark said, I'm going home. And he left, and he went to Jerusalem. You know, I don't know why he left and what the problem was. Obviously, he didn't endanger the mission because Barnabas and Saul went on, and my, did they have a successful missionary journey, and they started churches and established churches, and they finished what God sent them to do. After some time, Paul said, "But let's go back and let's do that again. Let's go back and visit the churches we established, and let's just take another journey." And Barnabas said, "Yeah, that's a good idea." So he invited John Mark again. And he got real heated, according to Scripture. The Bible said that it got hot. And it got so hot that Paul said, John Mark's not going with me. I don't know what words were said, but it was like he was just saying, "It ain't no quitter going with me. I won't have it." He is not going. Well, you know what? He didn't either. But Barnabas, you know, I appreciate a man, though he's mild and meek, he had a backbone. He didn't crumble. He didn't fall apart and say, "All right, Paul, that's what you say." No. He stood right up and he said, "Okay." He said, "If John Mark's not going, I guess we'll just have to go separate ways here. I'm going to go with, I'm going to take care of John Mark. If that's not good enough for you, I guess you'll just have to go your way and I'll go mine." And then the second missionary journey, it was who? It was Paul and Silas. But you know what? Barnabas did. He took John Mark and he went back home. And he began to do the same thing he did with Saul. Started pouring himself into that young man. But before Paul's life ended while he was in prison, he wrote a letter. And he said, "Send John Mark to me. He's profitable for the gospel." You know why he was? Because somebody by the name of Barnabas took the time to take him under his wing when he'd been wounded and he was hurt and he was crushed and he could have lost out with God as well as certainly his ministry. But Barnabas took the time to bring healing and hope back into his life. And John Mark became a great soldier of the cross and a great Christian and a great preacher and a great minister of the first church. Thank God for Barnabas. Somebody that can do that. Somebody that will do that. He missed out on the second missionary journey. We don't know. He just kind of almost disappears into, as far as people are concerned, as far as history is concerned, obscurity. But I'll promise you one thing. Barnabas just kept right on doing what he'd always done. And we don't know in the Bible what happened from that point, but there's going to come a day when we stand before the throne and Barnabas is going to be there. Hallelujah. And all of those people that he mentored and helped and all the people that were won because of the people that he mentored and helped, and they're all going to be there. And it's all going to be a great part of the fruit of this man called Barnabas. Amen. And so thank God for people like Barnabas. They are so very valuable to the church. Amen. They're so valuable to the church. And we need people like him, and may his tribe greatly increase. Amen. Anybody have any idea what time it is? 1 minute till. I just did pretty good about that. I'm not through by any means, but we're in a stopping place. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for Barnabas. He's always been one of my great heroes in the Scripture. He's kind of an unsung hero. You don't hear as much about him as you do some. But my, the wonderful things that he did and the value that he was to the ministry of the church. Barnabas. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's be a Barnabas. Let's be a Barnabas. Amen. Let's go find somebody to help. Let's find somebody to be kind to. Let's find somebody that I can be nice to and help. Amen. That's the ministry of Barnabas.